I like the words that he gave me better. So I'm going to try and sing and sing these words. So, free from the law, happy condition. Jesus hath bled, and there is remission. Cursed by the law, and bruised by the fall, grace hath redeemed us once for all. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O doubter, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Now we are free, there's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me, oh, hear his sweet call. Come and he saves us once for all. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O doubter, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. There on the cross, your burden upbearing. Thorns on his brow, your Savior is wearing. Never again your sin need appall. You have been pardoned once for all. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O doubter, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Children of God, O glorious calling, Jesus provides a perfect salvation. Come unto me,
Wrong words. Start that verse over again.
Children of God, O glorious calling, surely his grace will keep us from falling. Passing from death to life at his call, blessed salvation once for all. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O doubter, believe it. Cling to the cross, the burden will fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Okay. Sorry, I need to practice that more.
Wait. Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. You know, you always got that crowd, you know, that just not quite sure. Which, you know, now we like to might want to criticize them there, but you know, that is a big ask. Here's a man that they saw die, but now he says he's alive. You know, and that, you know, am I seeing things, or my, you know, is it my hopes that's causing me to see things that really isn't there? You know, but I'm glad that they didn't seem to stay that way. Anyway, verse number 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. All right. Father, we pray now that you help us this morning. Help us again to say those things that are necessary, to say them in a way that, Lord, won't be offensive because of attitude or anything of that nature. Lord, if the truth offends, then that's a whole different matter. But I don't want to say it in a manner that would be offensive. And so I pray, Father, that you help us. Help us to take what's said today and make sure that we apply it and use it. And so that when we stand before you, we'll be able to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So I pray that you'll help. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I begin this message, I'm going to say something that we were reading the other night in the book of Ezekiel during our devotional time. But God made a statement about men who live their life wicked. And he said, now, if they live their life wicked and they return, they realize they were wrong and they return. And he says, you know what I'll do? He says, I'll forgive them and all the wrong that they ever did. He said, I'll not bring it up again. Far too good at that. And so if you find yourself guilty here this morning, God says if we'll make it right, he won't bring it up again. And so that's a good news to hear, because anyhow, so just keep that in mind. Sometimes, you know, we hear things and we realize we're wrong and then we get depressed over it. Well, God says don't get depressed, just get right. And he'll take care of the rest, and I'm glad of that. Anyway, verse number 18, and Jesus came again, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And so in this passage, we have what's commonly referred to as the Great Commission. And a commission is a command or a duty given or a task that's assigned or one's charged with or given the responsibility of. And this passage here lays out the commission, the primary duty, the primary purpose of the church. The primary purpose of the church is not to feed the poor and clothe the naked. The primary purpose of the church is to preach the gospel. That's the primary purpose of the church. Now, we ought to do good. We ought to try to help other people in different ways. But if we help them physically, but we don't preach the gospel, how we help them eternally? And so this is our primary purpose. And we're going to look at the following thing. We're going to look at the task that God's assigned to us. So I want to talk to you about that. First of all, I want to look at its captain. The task, its captain, and its might. Who's the one that gives the orders? That's the captain. In the Bible, the captain of the host was the commander. So who is the commander? Well, the commander is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 10, talks about the captain of our salvation. And he is the captain of our salvation. He is the leader. He is the commander. He is the one who gives the orders. And that's something that we really don't like in America. You know, we're free and we don't like to be told what to do. Now listen, as an American citizen, you are free. But as a child of God, you are a slave. You're a bondservant to Jesus Christ. And so you have a master. And Jesus talked about that, says, you call me master, and you say, well, he is our master. Now, it may not settle too well this morning, but that is a fact. We've got so independent, you know, sometimes we got independent of God himself. We don't even expect God to tell us what to do. But God has the right to tell us what to do and how we ought to live our life. And so this captain, this master, this heavenly commander, if you will, our king and our Lord, gives us a command. He gives us a duty. And you and I are to be as good soldiers. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 3. Paul told Timothy, he said, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, a good soldier is obedient. Listen, when I was in the Air Force, a lot of times our shop chief or our branch chief or whatever, our unit commander. He'd give us orders and tell us that we had to do this and had to do that, and we didn't understand why. They didn't explain the whys. They just said, do it. They knew the whys. Well, some of them did. They may not, even then, they may not have known all the whys. But listen, it's not important that we know the why. We just need to know what we're supposed to do. And so many times that we want somebody to explain why we ought to do it, rather than just say, hey, yes, because you're Lord and you're Master, I'll do it because I'm a good soldier. That's what I'm supposed to do. And so he's the captain of our salvation. And so our captain gives us a duty. But he not only gives us a duty, but he also hears the authority. What's the authority behind the command to go into all the world? Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven. Now, in the Bible, there's two words for the word power. Number one is the word dunamis, which we get our word dynamite from. That's an explosive power. And then there's a word exousia. And that's this word here. This talks about authority. You see, it's the kind of power that the president has. Our president doesn't really have much power if you look at him as a man by himself. But he does have the authority to at least unleash our military. I'll get that right in a minute. Unleash our military power. That explosive power. So he has no physical power, but he has all the power of his military to back up what he says. And so that's the idea. All power, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. That means all of heaven's earth resources and all of earth's resources are at his command. He's given us a task to do, and you say, well, it's too great. We don't have the money. We don't have this, and we don't have that. We just can't do it. Jesus said, all heaven's resources are mine, and all earth's resources are mine. You don't worry about the means of how it's going to get done. You just go ahead and start doing it. And he says, I'll make sure that you have everything that you need to get it done. And usually our problem is not that we don't have the resources, or we don't have the resources. Our problem is we don't get started on it. We don't find out that God has the resources because we never get out and start anyway. And so you and I's responsibility is to go out and start and to try to accomplish the task and let God figure out how to pay for it. And so there's the authority. All authority in heaven and earth is his. And therefore he has the right to say, you know, people say, what gives you the right to go and knock on people's door and tell them whether they're going to heaven or hell or not, or to ask them that question? Well, all the authority of heaven gives us that right. It gives us that responsibility. You and I have a responsibility to do it, whether we feel comfortable doing it or not. You say, well, I don't feel comfortable talking to people about the Lord. Well, we have a responsibility for doing it, whether we feel comfortable with it or not. I'll be honest with you, I don't like going and knocking on strange doors either. I don't know who's on the other side of that door. I don't know how I'm going to be received. But the fact is, I have a responsibility to do it, whether I want to do it or not. And I was talking to another preacher here a while back. He said when he went and knocked on doors, he said it just made him sick. He gets sick at his stomach. He's so nervous, he gets sick at his stomach. And I don't get that bad, but listen, it's just not something that's my cup of tea. I just don't like, you know me, I don't really like to talk to people anyway. I have a hard time talking to people. I'm not like Gary. I can't talk to people about anything, anytime, anywhere. You know, I have a hard time. I like fishing, but I have a hard time talking to people about fishing. That's just the way it is. You know, I could sit down with you all day long, and we might say 20 words if you don't speak 10 of them or 15 of them. You know, so I'm just not that way. I'm just not a very outgoing person. But Paul told Timothy, he said, do the work of an evangelist. He said, Timothy, I know that you're not. Now, Timothy evidently was a very kind of a nervous fellow because he had stomach problems. Evidently he had ulcers or something. So he was, I guess, a very nervous type person. And but Paul told him, said, Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. Do it whether you feel like doing it or not. Whether you feel comfortable doing it or not. Just do it anyhow. And so that's our command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But now that's the authority, the captain who gave the command, and that's the authority behind the command. But then the task I'm going to look at the task in two aspects. There's a universal aspect of this task, and then there's a local aspect of it. You notice it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And then in verse 20 it says, teaching again. Now those two words, teaching, are two different words. The first word here, teaching, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," is the idea of make disciples. Go ye therefore, make disciples out of all nations. That's the idea of carrying the gospel. And you notice it says, "Go ye." Well, now let me ask you that. Who is the ye? Well, who was he speaking to? You say, well, he was speaking to the disciples. Well, if he was speaking to the disciples strictly as the disciples, then when the disciples ended, the command ended. But if he was speaking to the disciples as representatives of the church, then the church has a continual command to go, and the ye applies to everybody who makes up the church. And I will tell you, common sense will tell you which of the two that means. God expects you and I. Where are the ye? Go ye. I can't say go ye and exclude myself. Jesus said, go ye. Everyone who makes up the church has the responsibility to preach the gospel into all the world. You say, I can't go into all the world. I realize that. We'll talk about that a little bit in just a minute. But our problem is not that we can't go into all the world. Our problem is do we go to our own neighborhood? Are we fulfilling the great command in our own area of influence? Those people that you know and that you talk to. Do you realize there's some people that you know and you talk to that I'll never know? And unless you talk to them and win them to Christ and they come to church, I won't ever meet them. There's some people I know that you'll never meet. Every one of us has a sphere of influence that we're responsible for. And then we have the responsibility to go beyond that. Sometimes we like to stay around our little own, and that's all we like to do. But it extends beyond that. Jesus said, go you therefore and preach the gospel in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You notice he did not leave out any area. And so, go you therefore. Because, and somebody's made the statement, when you see the word therefore, you ought to stop and see what it's there for. What does he mean by therefore? Well, because all power is given unto him in heaven and earth. He didn't, listen, if all power wasn't given unto him, it'd be ludicrous for him to give us the task that we couldn't complete. But he said, because all power in heaven and earth is given to me, because you have all the resources that of heaven and earth available to you, you can go. And you can go in confidence that whatever's needed to supply the task will be provided. Because it's our Lord's command. He's the one that sent us. And he's made himself responsible for supply. Now, you know, you think about the military. We talked about being good soldiers. You know, soldiers are not supposed to, they don't buy their own uniforms. They don't buy their own weapons. The government that sends them supplies for them. Boy, they feed them. You go to a chow hall, it may not be the best food. You know, you got a guy that's getting paid as little as some of these soldiers are paid. You can understand why the food ain't so great. But anyhow, you get the idea that God has made himself responsible for supplying the need for us going. And by the way, that great passage that we like to quote, "My God shall supply all your needs," is given in the context of giving for missions. It's not just an open-ended promise for everything. God says if you'll go, he says, I'll supply your needs to make sure that it gets taken care of. But so he says, go you therefore and teach all nations. Now that word nations, now when we think of nations, we think of Russia and China and all these things. But it's the word ethnos, it's the word ethnic groups. You see, it's not good enough to go to South Africa to reach all the white men in South Africa. We're responsible for reaching every ethnic group in that. When the Rugmans go to Africa, you know, there's different ethnic groups in Africa. He can't pick and choose. He can't say, because the Muslims are a different ethnic group, I'm not going to mess with them. He's still responsible for preaching the gospel to them just like he is everybody else. You and I are not to look at skin color. We're not to look at natural order. We're not to look at how people dress. The gospel's good for everybody. And so we're to teach all nations. But the teaching is limited. This teaching is limited in its scope. You see, we're not to go out and teach all nations to tithe. You know, you're not. We don't teach lost people to tithe. We don't teach lost people how they should dress and how. This teaching is making disciples. It's limited in its scope. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15 says, "Go ye therefore into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel." Our very our primary duty in going forth into all the world is to preach the gospel. Not to teach people how to live better. You can teach people how to live better and they can still die and go to hell. Our responsibility is to preach the gospel. Our primary responsibility is to teach people the truth of the gospel. Now the gospel again is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 1 through 4, Paul talks about the gospel. It's how that Christ died. But that's not all that he says. He died for our sins. People need to know more than just the facts. They need to know why the facts is. Why did he die? Jesus said, told the disciples in Acts chapter number 1 that they were to be witnesses unto him of his resurrection, that he died and that he rose again. But why did he die and rose again? He died for our sins. People need to know that. There's a lot of people who believe the fact that Jesus lived, died, and buried and rose again, but they're not saved just because they believe the facts. They need to know why. You say, well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, if they don't know why he died, why would they come to repentance? They need to know why he died and that he was buried. And then when you read in first, well, let's turn over there. Just turn over there. I'll read it to you. I'm trying to save a little time, but I'm going to read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Verse number 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, wherein you stand, by which also ye have are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." According to the Scriptures, he died as a lamb. He died as the Lamb of God. According to Isaiah 53, that all we like sheep have gone astray, but God has laid upon him as a lamb the iniquity of us all. That's how he died according to the Scriptures. It doesn't mean according to the Scriptures. It doesn't mean according to what Matthew, Mark, and Luke had said about the historical record of his death, burial, and resurrection. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the purpose. Why did he die? And that he was buried. And you'll notice that when he put wrote in the buried, he left out according to the Scriptures. It is a historical fact, but that's not part of what Paul's trying to say. It's what's of primary importance. The primary importance is why he died and why he rose again. Because when he gets to the resurrection, he gets to rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Well, why did he rise? He was raised for our justification. People need to know that. That's the primary duty of the church. Is as far as its universal aspect of it, is to preach the gospel. That men need to know that Jesus Christ died for their sins, that he was buried and he rose again for their justification. And if they'll put their trust in him. Now, when the Bible talks about believing, it's not talking about a head thing. Well, yeah, I believe those facts. When it talks about believing, it's the idea of being convinced, so convinced by all the truth that you're willing to act upon it. and you're willing to put your trust in it. That's the idea. Men need to act upon what they've heard and put their trust in the one in whom they've heard about. And so that's the universal aspect of it. And then after you've made disciples, you baptize them. There's no such thing as baptism before salvation. Make disciples out of all nations, baptizing them. Who's the them? That's the disciples that you just made. You say, well, I was baptized as an infant. No, you got wet as an infant. You only get baptized after you're saved. Baptizing them, baptizing the disciples. You say, well, the Jews circumcised their children. Well, that was a whole different dispensation. That's a whole different set of promises. That's a whole different manner of God dealing with people. We are in the age of grace, the age of the church. And Jesus Christ said to go into all the world and make disciples out of all nations. And you baptize those disciples, identifying them with me. That's what baptism's all about. Baptism, Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 37 through 39. Now Peter preached that sermon and these men were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter, said, men and brethren, what must we do? Jesus said, Peter said, looked at him and said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter number 16, the Philippian jailer. He comes in after God's opened the prison doors there at night. There he comes in and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Paul said to him, said, now you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And he said, thou send thou all thine house, all your house. And listen, if they'll do this, they'll do likewise, they'll all be saved likewise. There's only one message. And that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the redemption, for the forgiveness of sins. And then after he was saved, after he received, what did God Paul do? He baptized him. Salvation first, baptism second. Go ye then all the world and preach the gospel and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then he says, teaching them again. This begins the local task. The local task is teaching them. Now that word teaching there is the idea of giving instructions. That's the idea of imparting knowledge. It's not the same. It's not the same as it's two different words. And so those disciples that you have made and those disciples that you have baptized, now you begin the process of imparting the knowledge of all that Jesus Christ has said and all that Jesus Christ wants them to observe and do. So that's the local task. What's to be taught? Not just the gospel, but all things. And teaching them, and the first teaching that where he talked about going to all the world, go to all nations. And, well, Mark says go to all the world and preach the gospel. That first teaching teaches them how to become saints. This teaching teaches them how to live as saints. Once they are saints, you say, saints? Yep, when you're saved, you're a saint. The church doesn't make you a saint. God makes you a saint when he sets you apart. When he saves you and sets you apart from this world, you're a saint. So I can look out, I married a saint. She wasn't a saint when I married her, but she's a saint now. You know, I can look at you and I can call you names. Saint so-and-so, saint so-and-so. You know, you say, well, I'm not a saint. I don't live like a saint. Well, that's the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to teach you how to live like a saint. God made you a saint when he saved you. Now he gives us the responsibility of teaching you how to live as a saint. So how are they to be taught? Well, 1 Timothy chapter number 1. In verse number 3. Let me read just a couple of quick verses to you. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number... Well, let's just pass it there. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 3. This is a true saying. Oh, wait a minute. I'm reading the wrong verse. I'm reading 3:1 instead of 1:3. First Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 3 says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Now let me ask you, what was at Ephesus? It's pretty simple. There's a book called the Ephesians. Who was Paul writing to in Ephesians? He was writing to the saints at the church of Ephesus. So where's the teaching to take place? Well, the teaching just take place at the purpose of the church. God, when we send missionaries, we don't send missionaries just to preach the gospel. They're to preach the gospel, to see people saved, and to establish churches so that the churches can take up the duty of teaching saints how to live like saints and to go from where they're at into all the world and preach the gospel, so that after they preach the gospel, they can establish churches and teach those saints how to live as saints. It's a never-ending, always multiplying work. First, our Titus chapter number 1 and verse number 5. Titus chapter number 1, verse number 5. "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting there, are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee." Well, what were in those cities? There were churches in those cities. And they were supposed to have elders. You say, well, what was the purpose of the elders? Well, Ephesians chapter number 4. We talked about Ephesians in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter number 4. And verse number 11 to verse number 16. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 11. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Why did he give them? He gave them for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What's the purpose of the church? What are we here for? Well, part of the purpose of the church is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's why we send missionaries. Listen, we could save our money and just spend money out here and have a big old time. But we send money to missionaries. Why? So that they can win souls and start churches, so that those churches again can repeat the process. Those churches that Brother James starts and Brother Haley starts and Brother Seth too, all our missionaries really, when they start churches in those countries where they're at, you know what the first thing they teach them to do? Is to reach out into the villages around them. To send missionaries to those villages around them. And so, that's what we're here. We're here to preach the gospel to every creature. Well, you and I can't preach the gospel to every creature because we don't know every creature. So how are we going to do it? Well, we send missionaries. Those missionaries preach the gospel to those people where they're at. And when those churches get started, they send missionaries to preach the gospel to where we're at. And in that way, you see, we reach into all the world. We fulfill the Great Commission. But we don't fulfill the Great Commission just by sending missionaries. Those missionaries are not going to reach your neighbors. They're not going to talk to you. They're not going to reach over here. I still haven't got it done, but I got some ladies over here. I need some ladies to go over here to Persia to visit some ladies that me and Brother Luke knocked on. That's part of this church's responsibility. That's our Judea or our Samaria. It's not right here in town, but it is close by. We can still reach it. And so we need to do that. And so you see the idea. But notice what it says. But verse number 15 of Ephesians 4 says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him and into him in all things, which is the head." I went too far there. Verse number 14 is where I wanted to get to. "That henceforth we be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. God wants us to grow up. You're saved, when you get saved, you're just a babe in Christ. But God doesn't expect you to stay that way. God wants you to grow up. God wants you to be able to teach. God wants you to be able to sit down with somebody else and tell them. If you were to sit down with somebody else, could you tell them how to be saved? If somebody was to come to you and say, sir or ma'am, what do I have to do to be saved? Could you tell them? You say, well, Paul said was believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I think you'll find out if you read that even though it's not stated, there was probably a lot more said than that. How did he know there was a Jesus Christ to believe in? Paul had to tell him. Somebody had to tell him. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Well, as far as the gospel is concerned in other countries, how are they going to hear if the church in America or churches in other places don't send missionaries? But as far as people in America, how are they going to hear? If you and I, who make up the Church of Jesus Christ, don't carry the gospel to them. Most people aren't just going to ride by the road and see the sign, Landmark Baptist Church, and come in. Somebody's going to have to take the gospel to them. Most people who come to church come because somebody invited them. Somebody has witnessed to them and piqued their interest. And if they didn't get saved at home, they got enough of interest piqued to want to come and hear more. So here's our commission. Here's our command. Here's our duty. Here's our responsibility. The responsibility that has been laid upon us. And it is twofold. Number one is we're to carry the gospel to everywhere around us and everywhere that we got the money to send people to. That's our responsibility. To preach the gospel, to tell people that they're sinners, that they're lost and undone, and that they cannot save themselves, but there is a Savior. There is one upon whom God laid the iniquity of us all. And if they'll put their trust in that one, God will save them and make them a saint. Wash away all their sins and give them write their names in the Lamb's Book of Life and give them assurance that they're going to heaven. And then it's our responsibility after that those disciples are made to take them and baptize them and identify them with Jesus Christ. But the command doesn't stop there. Now that those have been added to the church, it is the responsibility of every individual, every member of the church to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ so that there we will be able to teach others also. So let me ask you the question. How are we doing on fulfilling the command? If we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, if we're not obedient to the great command, great commission that he gave to us, can we ever hear those words? It's an impossibility. One command, commission and two aspects. Preach the gospel and teach the saints. Do we know enough about our Savior to be able to preach the gospel? And do we know enough about our Savior to be able to teach the saints? How are we doing? That's the question. Now, I told you I'm going to preach myself this morning because I know as far as knocking on doors and all those things around this area, that I've got to do a lot far better job. I'm not going to fuss at you this morning because of it, because I've not led you enough in that way to say anything about it. But I think it's something that we need to straighten up. I need to straighten up.